And tonight we're going to think about how we share his words. So listening to his words this morning, sharing his words tonight. But as we come to that passage again, let me pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we've just sung a prayer asking you to speak to us. Thank you that this book, the Bible, is your words, that you speak through it to us, that you have words for us this morning. And as we come, please would you open our eyes. Please give us ears that want to hear. And please speak to give us life as we receive your word and take it deep within us. Please be with us by your spirit and work in power in our lives, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder this morning, do you think of yourself as a good listener? Is that what your friends would say about you? Is that what your family would say about you? Are you a good listener? Well, I think it depends what we're listening to, doesn't it? And I think we can be really bad listeners. Maybe students here this morning. Last lecture on a Friday afternoon. You're there in body, but the words are just washing over you. Maybe work, the annual health and safety briefing. The things that we've heard again and again and again. We just zone out. And the words we hear, but we don't listen to them. Or maybe husbands. Maybe you can identify with this. This is something quite often for me. Anne is telling me something that is probably quite important, and I'm there just nodding along, listening to the conversation, but not really listening. And then it gets to a point when she's asked me a question, and I know I've got to respond, but I've got no idea what I'm meant to say. Is it yes or is it no? Is it that's great or that's really terrible? And I've either got to guess and risk getting it wrong, or be honest and say I wasn't listening. We can be bad listeners, can't we? But we can be good listeners as well. Imagine, maybe there's some grandparents here this morning, when your grandchild comes over and there's something they want to tell you. You listen to every word. You drink it in. Or maybe your parents phone you up and they say there's something they need to tell you. You're going to listen to what they say. Or maybe at the doctor's, test results come back and the doctor says, sit down. I've got bad news for you. You see, how we listen depends on how important we think what someone's going to say is. And the passage today is all about listening. It's about listening to Jesus' words. And the question the passage asks us this morning is, as Jesus speaks, how are we doing at listening to what he says? Do his words get our full attention? Or are we just nodding as they wash over us? Because how we listen shows how important we think Jesus' words are. And so as we look at this passage this morning, I've got two questions to ask us to help us think about how well we're listening. And the first is this. As Jesus speaks, what are his words doing to you? Look down to verse 1. Mark sets the scene for us. Jesus is teaching by the lake in Galilee. That's the place where Jesus has been focusing his ministry. And in the early chapters of Mark, Jesus has been amazing the people with the miracles he's been doing and the things that he's been saying. And the result is that by this point, he's really popular. And people want to listen to him. And so on this day, there's a huge crowd gathered by the lake. That's so huge that Jesus has to go out into a boat to be able to speak to them all. If you picture the scene for a minute, you've got this huge crowd on the seashore, Jesus out in the boat, teaching them, and people pushing and jostling to get the best place in the crowd to listen to him. And as the crowd gather, verse 2 tells us that Jesus taught them many things by parables. Jesus taught them by parables. And if you read through the Gospels, you'll quickly find that they're full of parables. And perhaps this morning we know quite a few of them. The parable of the lost sheep, the good Samaritan, the wise builders and the foolish builder. Maybe you've got your favorite parable. Well, Jesus loved to teach in parables. He took stories that captured scenes from everyday life and at the same time had hidden and deep and very powerful meaning in them. And to this crowd on this day, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. As we read it, it's a nice story, isn't it? A farmer goes out, he scatters seed on the ground, and it falls on four types of ground. We find out that some of it grows, but most of it doesn't. And for the people listening, this would have been a really familiar thing for them. Many of them were probably farmers, or at least grew things to survive in their lives. They knew that if you sowed seed, you got mixed results. And so if you're in the crowd at this point, perhaps you were starting to wonder, why did we come all this way? Was it worth skipping work that day, traveling all the way to the lake, pushing to the front to get front row seats so that we could listen to Jesus talk about farming? It doesn't seem very groundbreaking. It doesn't seem on the surface that important to hear what Jesus says in this parable. But Jesus thinks differently. Look at what he says before and after he tells that parable. Verse 3, he says, listen. Listen to what I'm going to say. And in verse 9, he ends with these words, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You see, this story is far more than just what it appears to be on the surface. This is a parable that everyone must listen to carefully. And as Jesus uses that strange phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What he's saying is, having ears isn't enough. They need to be ears that really hear what I'm saying. Because it's possible to have ears, but not to hear. You see, it's possible on that day to have been there at the lake, to have heard everything that Jesus says, yet at the same time not to really have heard what he was saying at all, and to have missed the point. And sadly, on that day, many of the people who were there, they heard, but they didn't have ears to hear. For most of them, all they got was this story about farming. They turned up, they got their advice, and they went home none the wiser. They had ears, but not ears to hear. But there were some that day who listened differently. Look down to verse 10. Let's read that again. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. You see, for some in the crowd, the disciples, plus a few more, what Jesus had said raised questions in their minds. They knew there was more than just the story they'd heard. And so they come to him and they ask for answers. They've got ears that want to hear what he's trying to say. And Jesus will go on to explain the parable to them. But before he does, he begins by explaining to them why he teaches in parables. Jesus says he uses parables because they divide people. Let's read verse 11 and 12 again. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are on the outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Now these are hard verses, but in them Jesus describes two groups of people. There are those on the inside, and there are those on the outside. Those on the inside are those who come to seek, the ones to whom the secret of the kingdom of God has been given. They're the ones who come and ask for an explanation, who are enabled to see below the surface, who understand what Jesus says. And there are those on the outside, those to whom the secrets of the kingdom remain secrets. The ones who aren't seeking an explanation, the ones to whom the truth remains locked up, those who hear Jesus but don't understand what he's saying. And to make his point, Jesus is quoting here from Isaiah in the Old Testament. I don't know if you know the history of Isaiah, but Isaiah was sent to speak to God's people at a time when they turned away from him. They'd rebelled against God, and they were living far from him. And Isaiah was sent to speak a double message to them. He was sent first to warn them about God's judgment, that was coming because of their sin. He was also sent to hold out forgiveness to them if they would turn and receive it. But as Isaiah is sent, God tells him that these people won't listen to him. That they'll see, but they won't see. That they'll hear, but they won't hear. And that although forgiveness is offered and held out to them, they won't turn back and take it. God tells them that the message that would have saved them, as it's given to them, will actually push them further from him and confirm them in their judgment. And that's exactly what happened as Isaiah went to preach. And in the same way, this is what Jesus says his words are doing as he preaches at the lake that day. They're dividing the crowds. For some, the disciples and those others, those words are drawing them in to listen and to understand. But for others, those words are pushing them away into the darkness. Because although Jesus is putting his truth out there freely for everyone, his parables also conceal that truth. And so for some, they remain secrets for those that don't ask to understand. But to others, those who ask, Jesus gives understanding and he brings them in onto the inside. And this is what is happening every time that Jesus teaches. As he speaks, his words are always doing something in our hearts. They're always dividing us. That's what's going on in the room this morning as we read these words today. For some of us, Jesus' words are drawing us in closer to listen and to seek to understand. But at the same time, for some of us, those words are pushing us away as we listen but fail to understand what he's saying to us today. And so the first question that this passage asks us is this. As you listen to Jesus, what are his words doing to you? Are you like the crowd, content to hear without seeking to understand what he's saying? You see, it's just as easy for us to be like them, to hear what Jesus says, to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to read great books about the Bible, to give Jesus' words a place in our lives. But it's equally easy to do all that and fail to really hear what Jesus is saying at all. And perhaps this morning that's you. You have Jesus' words around you, but they're not having an effect upon you. Although you listen to the sermons week by week, if you're honest, most of what you hear just washes over. It passes over you. Maybe, although you read the Bible, you're just tired of applying it to your life. It's not really shaping your life as a whole. Just words that give you some advice or help you feel good at times when it's hard. Or maybe you're content to hear what Jesus says, but you've stopped working hard at thinking what it really means for you. You've been hearing, but not with ears that hear. Well, if that's you, Jesus says this is a dangerous place to be. Because as he speaks, what he says always matters. If you look through the parables, they're stories that speak about the most important things we could ever hear about. They speak about life and death, about heaven and hell. They talk about judgment and forgiveness. And as Jesus speaks about things like this, his words are never neutral. They're either drawing us in closer to life and hope and forgiveness in him, or they are pushing us away from him towards death and judgment. And so if we hear but fail to listen, we don't just miss out on truth. We actually push ourselves away from Jesus. And perhaps for some of us here today, we realize that although we've been hearing, we need to start listening to what Jesus says again. And if that's you this morning, well, the promise of these verses is for you. That if you come like the disciples to Jesus and ask to understand, he will help you. He will help you to understand what he's saying. He'll draw you in and reveal to you the truth if you come humbly and ask. Because while Jesus' truth is easy to miss, it's never far from our reach. And it's given to everyone that asks. Now, me and my wife, Anne, are thinking at the moment about maybe moving to Italy in the future to serve in a church there. And earlier in the year, we visited Italy to have a look at a few places we might work. And for most of the trip, we spent time with Italian speakers. And so a lot of the conversation for me, someone who doesn't speak Italian, made no sense at all. I got the occasional words, probably the important ones, like gelato, ice cream, prosciutto, which is where you put in your pizza, and pizza, of course. There's words that I understood, but most of it I didn't understand. It was on the outside. And I could have stayed on the outside if I wanted to. I could have nodded along politely and had no clue about what was being spoken about. But with a wife who speaks Italian, it was possible to come on to the inside, to hear and understand if I wasn't too proud to ask for help. And in the same way, as we hear Jesus' words, we might struggle to understand. There might be many things that he says that are hard, difficult for us to really take in. But if we'll come humbly and ask for help, what Jesus promises to help us to see. And so this morning, will you ask? Will you seek? Will you receive his words? Will you understand what he has to say? So the first thing this morning is, as you hear Jesus' words, what are they doing to you? But second, as Jesus speaks, what are you doing with his words? What are you doing with his words? Well, having explained the purpose of his parables, Jesus moves on to explain the parable of the sower. And in verse 14, he explains what this parable is about. Look at verse 14 again. The sower sows the word. You see, the seed in this parable is Jesus' words. Jesus is the farmer who's scattering his seed far and wide as he teaches. And the four soils, the four types of ground, well, they represent four different types of people who receive the same words but respond to it differently. And very simply, this parable is showing us that it's impossible for us to listen to what Jesus says and not to respond to his words in some way. The question for us this morning isn't, will we respond? The question is, how will we respond? How are we responding? As the seed of Jesus' word falls on our lives, we're going to be one of these soils. And so this morning, these four soils show us how we're listening, but they also show us how we ought to listen. And so let's look at those four soils together. First, Jesus asks if we're like those on the wayside, or sometimes described as the path. Look at verse 15 again. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. You see, those on the wayside are those people whose response is to make no response. It's not that these people don't hear what Jesus says. They do. The seed falls on them like it does on all the soil. But the difference is that they don't do anything with what they hear. They just let the word sit untouched on the edge of their lives. And when that happens, Satan wastes no time. He's there in an instant, immediately. He sweeps down like a bird. He swallows up the word, and it's gone. Jesus says, it's possible to hear his words and yet gain nothing from them. And so this morning, is that you? Are you like the wayside? Do you let Jesus' words get snatched away as they fall on your life? Perhaps you know them, you respect them, you read them often, you know that they matter. Maybe you're even an expert at sharing them with other people. you're honest, as you hear his words, they just don't really have an effect. They sit there, untouched, on the edge of life for another day, for a time when it's a bit less busy, or when you really need them. Just not now. Well, friends, if that's you this morning, Jesus warns us that if we hear his words and we do nothing with them, well, they'll be gone. They'll be gone before we know it. Food for the birds, snatched away, with no guarantee that we'll get them again. Are we like the wayside? Well, next, Jesus asks if we're like the stony ground. Look again at verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the words, immediately receive it with gladness. Now here, the response seems a bit more promising, doesn't it? These people listen to Jesus. They welcome his words gladly, and they begin to grow. But it's only for a short time. Because when the heat comes because of Jesus, when it costs to follow him, these people wither away. And why? Well, verse 17. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. You see, for these people, Jesus' word has been received, but it's not gone deep. It sits there just a bit below the surface, but it hasn't made any change deep down. And so at first, when life's good, when all seems well, that they go along well. But the minute it cost, the minute it was hard, well, these people give it all up. And the reason why, because the word has no roots. It's not gone down deep into their hearts. And so again, this morning Jesus asks us, are we like the stony ground? Are you like the stony ground this morning? Are you happy to listen to Jesus when he tells you what you want to hear? Are you happy to follow him when he leads you where you want to go? Are you happy to stand up and be counted when it suits you to belong to him? But not when it costs. Not when it means rejection. Not when it means sacrifice. Not when putting him first threatens a relationship or a job. You see, it's easy to love Jesus' words when it costs nothing. Anyone can do that. But only those who have a true root will hold on to them when it's hard. And perhaps this morning, you know that's you. Jesus' words just seem too hard to hold on to. What he's calling to you just seems too impossible to do. Well, as you're tempted to wither, the solution isn't to let go of Jesus' words. It's to take them in more deeply, to hold on to them more tightly, to let them go down and form that root. Because they are the only root that can help us in this life. They're the only root that will lead us through this life and through death, and that will keep us standing the other side of the grave. And so these are words we must hold on to, no matter what. These are words to live by, no matter what. So Jesus warns us not to be the stony soil. But third this morning, Jesus asks if we're like the thorny soil. Look again at verse 18 this time. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the words, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And again here, it looks like a promising start, doesn't it? The seed begins to grow, but so do the thorns. Verse 19, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, these things also grow up alongside the word. You see, the problem here isn't that these people give a place to Jesus' words in their lives. They do. The problem is that they fail to give them the supreme place, the only place in their lives. And Jesus' words are heard alongside other voices, competing voices, like worry and money and other desires. And as these things crowd in and enter in, they choke out the word. And so it can't bear fruit because it's got no room to bear fruit. And again, Jesus asks us, is that us this morning? Is that you? Are you the thorny soil? Are you happy to listen to Jesus, but you fail to give his word first place in your life? What is it that competes with it in your life? Perhaps it is worry, like Jesus says. Fear about the future, stress in the family, anxiety about who you are or what's going to happen to you. Is it worry that consumes your hearts and pushes out the word? Perhaps it is money, as Jesus says. The need to have enough to be happy, enough to be secure, enough to be able to do what you want to do. Is it money that sets priorities? Is it money that defines goals? Is it money that measures success? Or is it Jesus' words that rule everything that we have? Or perhaps it's other desires. Maybe good desires that just are too strong. A desire for a relationship, for a better job, for more appreciation, for more people just to care about us. Whatever it is that we think we must have to be happy. Do Jesus' words have to make way for those things? Or do those things make way for what he says? You see, whatever it is, Jesus warns us that if we let thorns grow up, if we let them enter in on his words, then slowly but surely they will choke it out. And so this morning, do you need to go weeding? Are there weeds that you need to pull out of your life? Things that are competing that you know are choking out Jesus' words. Is that you this morning? Are you like the thorns? But finally, Jesus asks if we are like the good soil. And this verse is part of the passage this morning. And so I'll read it now, verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And here, as in every other case, the word is here, heard. But this time, there is fruit. Unlike the wayside, these people don't just let the word sit on the surface. They take it in, and it goes deep. Unlike the rocks, these people don't just let Jesus' word sit just below the topsoil. But they take it in, into their hearts. And unlike the thorns, for these people, Jesus' word gets center stage. There's no competition to them. And the result is, as they welcome the word like this, there is great fruit. Verse 20 says, 30, 60, 100 times. This is a vast harvest. It's huge because these people listen. And so a final time this morning, Jesus asks us, is this us? Is this you? Will this be you this morning? Will you be the good soil that welcomes his words? As you hear Jesus' words, are they so precious that not one of them falls to the ground because they're so precious? As you read the Bible, do you take the time to press it down into life so it has time to change and shape your life? And as you listen to him, do you work to clear the ground, to give it the best space it could have to grow because you're so hungry, so needy for his words? Well, friends, Jesus says if we do this, if we are the good soil, then his word will bear fruit in our lives. His words will do us great good and they will produce in our lives great fruits. And so maybe this morning, some of us just need calling to attention. We need to be told to wake up and listen again as Jesus speaks. We have let some thorns grow up. We haven't taken care of our roots. Maybe we've just got lazy at listening. Well, today Jesus says, it's time to wake up. It's time to return to his words. It's time to listen with ears that really hear and to be the good soil. Now this morning we thought a lot about the soils. We thought a lot about ourselves and how we respond. But as we close, I just want us to look back up to the sower, the one who shares these words, to Jesus himself. Because when faced with a sinful and a wicked world, when faced with hearts that really were stony and thorny, Jesus could quite rightly have kept his words to himself. He could quite rightly have left us in the dark. But he's a sower who came to generously share his word with us, to scatter it on good soil and bad soil, to everyone. And astonishingly, as the sower, he didn't just stop at giving his word to us, did he? He also gave us his life. In John's Gospel, Jesus says this of himself: unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And at the cross, Jesus was that seed, wasn't he? He was the seed that fell to the ground and died as he gave himself for people who would reject him and reject his words. But through his death, he was the seed that gave fruit to many seeds, that produced the hugest harvest that there ever has been, as he rose and gave life and offered forgiveness to anyone who would listen. And so this morning, he invites us all to be part of that harvest. He invites us to come to him and ask that we might see and believe and be forgiven. He asks us to receive the gift of life, that he would plant it in our hearts, that it might grow to give us full life now and eternal life to come. Not easy life, but true life in him. And so this morning, as he speaks, are you listening? What are his words doing to you? And what are you doing with his words? Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the words that we've heard this morning. Please, would you make us those who have ears to hear what Jesus says. And please forgive us. Each one of us know how we fail to take your words as seriously as we should. We fail to listen and to let it shape us. And Father, we pray for help, that we would receive your word. We'd push it down deep. We'd weed out competition. And we'd be the good soil. Thank you for your great grace to us, that Jesus gave himself for us in our sin and rose to give us life. And please, by trusting him and following him and obeying his word, would you help us to follow? And we ask this now in his name. Amen. We're going to close our time together by singing. We're going to sing a song that reminds us of Jesus, the word, and how in him we have the truth that can give us life. So we're going to stand and sing, "You're the Word of God the Father." I think the number is 193 in the books. So let's stand together and sing these words.